Hello, this is Patricia, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading from the January 8th issue of the Olean Times-Herald on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, starting with the front page of the Olean Times. Home Care and Hospice Foundation seeking pre-sale sites for spring bouquet sale. Home Care and Hospice Foundation is calling on local businesses, schools, and organizations to become pre-sale coordinating sites for its 32nd annual spring bouquet sale and help terminally ill patients and their families in Allegheny, Cattaraugus, Genesee, and Wyoming counties. By serving as a pre-sale site, organizations can help make a meaningful impact while allowing their employees to brighten their homes with an 18-stem bouquet for $25 each. Every bouquet sold contributes directly to providing vital hospice care services and bringing comfort to those in need. Becoming a pre-sale coordinator is a simple yet impactful way to support our hospice bouquet sale, said Melissa Sullivan, CEO of Home Care and Hospice. This program not only raises critical funds for patient care, but also spreads joy throughout the communities we serve. Pre-sale coordinators will receive all necessary materials, including order forms and promotional materials, to ensure seamless participation. Organizations can coordinate orders internally, making it easy for employees to support this meaningful cause. Orders should be submitted no later than February 7th, with bouquet pickup delivery the week of March 1st. If interested in becoming a pre-sale coordinating site, contact Home Care and Hospice at 716-372-2106 or visit https://2026bouquet.givesmart.com. The Home Care and Hospice Foundation, established in June 2004, is dedicated to ensuring the ongoing viability of home care and hospice through philanthropic efforts. By raising, investing, and distributing funds, the foundation supports compassionate care services that make a meaningful difference in the lives of those they serve. Continuing in with the front page of the January 8th Olean Times-Herald. New York Farm Bureau sets legislative agenda for 2026 by Olean Times-Herald staff. New York Farm Bureau's state legislative priorities for 2026 include advocating for funding for current agricultural animal health promotion, research, and environmental programs, and funding the Cornell University College of Agriculture and Life Science to forward agricultural education, research, and extension. Other priorities listed by the NYFB include extending the refundable investment tax credit and allow construction costs for farmworker housing to be eligible for the tax credit, and moving the administration of product marketing and research orders from Empire State Development to the State Department of Agriculture and Markets. Amanda Powers, Director of Communications for NYFB, stated that the 2026 priorities are based on policy development over the course of the past year, which culminated at the organization's annual meeting in December. Delegates from 50 counties discussed and voted on a number of wide-ranging issues at the meeting, with public policy staff identifying NYFB's overall priorities issues, which also include removing the requirement for overtime payment on the weekly consecutive 24-hour rest period when total work hours are still below the overtime threshold. Legislation that would develop a clean fuel standard. Funding for the New York Center for Agricultural Medicine and Health to do research and promote education on temperature-related working conditions before any legislation, such as the Temperature Extreme Mitigation Program Act, is passed. Exemption of agricultural businesses from extended producer responsibility legislation until a cost-effective and practical agricultural recycling program is established and funded by the state. Mandating that fire, rescue, library, and other ad valorem taxing districts use agricultural assessment values when calculating property taxes. Renewable energy policies that incorporate common sense timeframes for adoption based upon grid capacity and support for the use of other energy sources, including nuclear. NYFB opposes all electric mandates and bans on the use of propane, wood-burning, oil, or natural gas appliances. New York seeks Dairy Promotion Board nominees. State Agricultural Commissioner Richard A. Ball has called for nominations to the New York Dairy Promotion Order Advisory Board for the three-year term starting May 1st. The advisory board assists the commissioner in the administration of the DPO and makes recommendations on dairy marketing promotion, education, and research programs. All nominations must be received no later than February 13th. Any individual producer who markets milk in New York may be nominated for membership on the board. Nominations can only be made by individual New York milk producers. They must be signed by the nominating individual and submitted in writing along with the nomination form. Cooperatives and other farm organizations are not authorized to nominate individual producers to the advisory board, but may endorse producers who are nominated. Each nomination should include the name and address of the producer being nominated, their cooperative or other organizational affiliation, and other pertinent information about the producer, such as herd size, market, participation in farm organizations or programs, and experience in marketing activities. Completed nomination forms will be used to evaluate the nominee's qualifications. Requests for forms and completed nominations can be addressed to New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets, Division of Milk Control and Dairy Services, Attention Elizabeth Pela, that's P-E-I-L-A, 10B Airline Drive, Albany, New York, 12235, or by email at nydpo@agriculture.ny.gov. The DPO Advisory Board advises the Commissioner on the annual distribution of over $16 million in funds collected from milk producers under the producer-approved New York Dairy Promotion Order. The Board meets regularly to recommend allocations to new programs and to review progress of programs currently funded under the order, which include dairy promotion programs, nutrition education and outreach programs, and a variety of innovative dairy product research projects. The first New York State DPO Advisory Board was appointed in May 1972 at the request of dairy producers. New York State has roughly 3,000 dairy farms that produce over 16 billion pounds of milk annually, making New York the nation's fifth largest dairy state. The dairy industry is the state's largest agricultural sector, contributing significantly to the state's economy by generating nearly half of the total agricultural receipts and providing some of the highest economic multipliers. Continuing with the front page of the Olean Times-Herald for January 8th. New plastic waste laws now in effect in New York. New waste reduction law requirements in New York State took effect January 1st, including a ban on the sale or distribution of polystyrene foam food service containers that now include picnic coolers. A new law also further limits the availability of single-use plastic bottles for personal care products at hotels. No food service provider, manufacturer, or store covered by the ban may sell expanded polystyrene foam containers that are not wholly encapsulated or encased within a more durable container. New York State's foam ban prohibiting disposable food service containers, including cups, bowls, plates, and trays, as well as polystyrene foam packing peanuts, has been in effect since January 1st, 2022. The polystyrene foam ban does not include New York City, which implements a separate citywide ban on such products. New York State's efforts to reduce polystyrene foam and single-use plastics continues to be a success stories for preventing plastic pollution and improving recycling, says DEC Commissioner Amanda Lefton. Expansion of these restrictions will further benefit New York State residents and the environment and will encourage a switch to container and packaging options that are reusable, recyclable, and compostable. According to DEC, polystyrene foam is one of the top contributors of environmental litter, causing negative impacts to fish and wildlife, waterways, and other natural resources, as well as littering local communities and natural areas. Polystyrene foam is lightweight, breaks apart easily, and does not readily biodegrade, contributing to microplastic pollution. In addition, polystyrene foam containers and packing peanuts are not accepted in most recycling programs because the foam is difficult to recycle and has low value. Regarding small plastic hospitality bottles of personal care products in guest rooms and retail shops, DEC calls it wasteful in both natural resources and products, as many are often simply discarded. Plastic bottles are resistant to degradation and last many years in a landfill, and as plastic bottles deteriorate, the residual contents of the products are released into the environment, while the packaging itself can also release micro and nanoplastics that can negatively impact humans, wildlife, and ecosystems. Beginning January 1st, the state's existing ban on the use of small plastic bottles containing personal care products will be expanded to any hotel, apartment hotel, motel, or boarding house with less than 50 rooms. For more information or to file a complaint, visit DEC's Small Plastic Hospitality Bottles webpage or email recycling@dec.ny.gov. Continuing with the Olean Times Herald for January 8th. Dozens enjoy Impact's first day hike at Phillips Creek. Impact's first day hike attracted 57 winter enthusiasts who braved single-digit temperatures on January 1st to hike freshly groomed trails in Phillips Creek State Forest. Our event was a great success, said Glenn Gebhardt, Impact president. We have more snow than we've seen in years, and thanks to our volunteers, the trails are in really good shape. After assembling at the Phillips Creek State Forest entrance on Route 244, the hikers, including a few snowshoers and skiers, divided into four groups to traverse trails of varying lengths. Trail guards included Impact board members Glenn Gebhardt, Pauline Burns, and Heather Wakely, and DEC Forest Ranger Justin Thane. Parks and Trails New York, the nonprofit that sponsors First Walks across the state and the principal funder of Impact's recent improvements on Trail 3, sent bandanas and rechargeable headlamps for distribution to the hikers. Impact's next public events are the evening walks scheduled for 5:30 p.m. February 7th and 5:45 p.m. March 7th, when moonlight will illuminate the woods. Headlamps are required. Impact is a nonprofit friends group that works with Allegheny County's DEC foresters to maintain, improve, and build trails in the county's state forests and on the other public lands for the enjoyment of hikers, equestrians, skiers, nature lovers, campers, and others. For more information about Impact, to become a member or make a donation, visit impactfriendsgroup.org or email impactfriendsgroup@gmail.com. You're listening to a reading of articles and features from the Olean Times Herald on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Continuing with the Olean Times Herald for January 8th. Cuba Greenway Extension receives grant to move forward by Bob Clark. A grant will allow a project to connect the community to the Genesee Valley Greenway to move forward. The Allegheny County Area Foundation announced a $14,210 grant from the Foundation's Leadership and Innovation Fund has been awarded to the Friends of the Genesee Valley Greenway to support a connection between the state trail to the village and Cuba Rushford Central School. The project aims to provide a safer pedestrian option heading north out of the village towards the Cuba Rushford Middle High School, as well as a new trailhead to the Greenway. Along with allowing additional use of the trail, officials believe the project will also serve as a boost to local businesses. A plan addressing these needs was a finalist for the state funding last year, but not selected. At that time, officials from the Wellsville-based construction firm L.C. Whitford Company said the firm would provide the trail work on an in-kind basis, donate the necessary land, and create a memorial. As a memorial, the Daniel Whitford Greenway State Park entrance, if the project could get funding for a survey, mapping, a wetlands review, legal fees, and the work of a landscape architect and engineer. The Grant Foundation officials reported will cover these costs. With the funding now in place, the project is expected to be finished later this year. Friends of the Genesee Valley Greenway will serve as grantee and support the project through its knowledge of the trail system, maintenance, and funding, while the Town of Cuba government will provide local oversight. The 90-mile Greenway generally follows the course of the 19th century Genesee Valley Canal and later Genesee Valley Railroad. The trail is part of the state park system and runs with some interruptions from Rochester to Hinsdale. The fund was established by ACAF co-founder Jack Carter, enables ACAF to work with organizations on larger activities that enhance the quality of life in Allegheny County, and encourages ACAF in its efforts to see broad community involvement in bringing forth potential projects. The award is the first to be issued by the fund. Allegheny County nonprofits are encouraged to discuss their creative ideas with ACAF. The foundation can be reached via phone at 585-296-5616 or email at director@acafny.org. Continuing with the Olean Times-Herald for January 8th, maternity desert in northern Pennsylvania broadens as Warren Hospital ends labor delivery services. Warren General Hospital will end inpatient labor and delivery services next week, further widening the area in the northern tier of Pennsylvania without maternity services. The announcement by WGH adds to the maternity desert that includes McKean, Elk, Cameron, Potter, Warren, Clarion, Clinton, and Forest counties. Bradford Regional Medical Center does not offer labor and delivery services, sending patients to Olean, New York General Hospital since 2019. Penn Highlands Elk in St. Mary's moved maternity services to Du Bois in 2024, and UPMC Cole in Codersport moved its services to Wellsboro in 2025. Jones Memorial Hospital of Wellsville, New York, a part of University of Rochester Medicine, has a birthing center that serves northern tier mothers as well. This difficult decision follows an exhaustive national recruitment search and a sudden change in physician availability, Warren General officials stated in a press release. For several years, the hospital's OBGYN program has been maintained by two physicians. On December 29th, the hospital was notified that one of the physicians would not deliver babies for the foreseeable future, the statement noted. This change comes after more than a year of aggressive multi-channel recruitment efforts to expand the team. The efforts taken by the WGH administration were outlined, including contacting 28 residency programs, using 10 recruiting agencies, reaching out to numerous candidates on a leading job board, and engaging with legislators for assistance. Despite our exhaustive efforts and the support of our legislative leaders, the national shortage of OBGYN specialists has made it impossible to secure the staffing levels required to safely maintain a 24/7 labor and delivery unit at this time, said Dan Gromund, CEO. The hospital will continue to provide women's health care. Approximately 175 babies have been delivered each year at WGH, the statement read. Over the last 20 years, this number has steadily declined from approximately 400 deliveries each year. WGH said it will work with expecting mothers regarding three labor and delivery options for these births. UPMC Chautauqua, 20 miles from WGH, AHN St. Vincent Hospital in Erie, 62 miles from WGH, and UPMC Hammett McGee Women's Hospital in Erie, 67 miles from WGH. Continuing with the Olean Times-Herald for January 8th, Southern Tier Crop Congress plan for January 28th. On Wednesday, January 28th, Cornell Cooperative Extension of Allegheny County, in conjunction with the Southwestern New York Dairy, Livestock, and Field Crops team, will be hosting the Southern Tier Crop Congress at the Belfast Fire Hall from 9:45 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. This meeting will feature recent updates in field crop production as we look into the 2026 growing season. Topics for this meeting will include early season pest damage across New York State, risk under different management practice in light of the neonicotinoid ban presentation by Chloe Cho, doctoral student at Cornell University. Pesticide mixing fundamentals will be a hands-on activity with Elizabeth Buck, CVP, and Caitlin Miller, SWNY-DLFC, and field crop disease update from Camilo Parada Rojas, plant pathologist at Cornell University. DEC and CCA credits are available. Lunch and refreshments will be provided with registration. Fee is $15 per person, payable at the door. Call-in registration appreciated by January 23rd to assist with planning. Contact Kelly Torre at 585-268-7644, extension 10. Walk-ins accepted. For more information, contact Lynn Bliven at 585-268-7644, extension 18, or email lao3@cornell.edu. The Southern Tier Crop Congress is one of many programs offered by Cornell Cooperative Extension of Allegheny County, CCE Allegheny. The association is part of the National Cooperative Extension System, an educational partnership between county, state, and federal governments. As New York's land-grant university, Cornell administers the system in this state. Continuing with the Olean Times-Herald for January 8th, OHS Musical seeks program advertisers. The Olean High School Theater Program is currently accepting program advertisements for its upcoming musical production, but the deadline to participate is fast approaching. Local businesses, organizations, and individuals are invited to support a meaningful educational experience for students while also showing their commitment to the arts and the community. Program advertising is a vital source of funding that helps make OHS productions possible while keeping ticket prices affordable for families. All proceeds from ad sales directly benefit the OHS Theater Program and the Olean Music Boosters. These funds support costumes, props, and set design, student awards and scholarships, the annual end-of-year music Banquet and the continued growth of the performing arts at Olean High School. Organizers note that a program ad is more than a message printed on a page. It's an investment in creativity, confidence, and arts education that benefits students today and for years to come. In addition to supporting the production through advertising, audience members will also have opportunities to contribute during each performance. Concessions will be available before the show and during the intermission, and the Olean Music Boosters will host a 50-50 raffle at each performance. The Music Boosters impact extends well beyond fundraising. The organization helps build school pride, create opportunity, and ensure access to music education for students regardless of background or financial means. This support is especially meaningful in a district that proudly stands as the only school district in the county to offer choral, orchestra, and band programs. Program ads are available in several sizes and price points. Full-page ads, 5 by 8 inches, are $80. Half-page ads, 5 by 4 inches, are $40. And quarter-page ads, 5 by 2 inches, or 2.5 by 4 inches, are $20. Completed ads should be emailed to lkranz, K-R-A-N-Z, at oleanschools.org. The deadline for submission is Wednesday, January 14th, and no late ads can be accepted. Checks should be made payable to OHS-SAC. This year's musical, Big Fish School Edition, will be presented on January 30th and 31st at 7 p.m. in the Olean High School Auditorium. Tickets are available now at cur8.com/23562/project/135158. Community members are encouraged to attend, support the students, and celebrate the arts at Olean High School. And the obituaries that were listed in the Olean Times-Herald for January 8th. A. Erling Drum, a longtime resident of Allegheny, died Sunday, January 4th. Edwardine J. Eddie Schoonover of Limestone Run died January 6th. Carol Ann Mahoney of Cuba Teresa R. Ross, who died January 7th. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the January 8th issue of the Olean Times-Herald. Your reader has been Patricia. Thank you for listening.